The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Believe it or not, today is the last day of July. It's July 31st, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. That's www.docspreferred.com. As I've told everybody, Dr. Wong is on here once a month. He's on with me today, as a matter of fact. His generosity is incredible. That way he's helped me out so much. He sponsored me for Iceland. And as everybody knows, I'm not afraid to tell you. A lot of people disguise it. I've had some stuff definitely with my left shoulder. That was where the bicep was torn. I have quite a bit more respect for that than probably any other part of my body. We don't want to get into a repeat, but I will say this. Get better, man. And it's like these last five workouts, if they're any indicator, we are unleashing. So we got a new stone coming, and I'll keep everybody up on it. But go out to www.docspreferred.com. Take a look, because I know other people that listen to the show have contacted Dr. Wong. Guess what? You can get to him. So they've talked to him, and they've got stuff from him. So go out there and check it out. Next, we have Sorenex. Once again, another sponsor. They sent me a diamond bar. Bert and Richard, I thank them for that. I can lift massive amounts of weight now out of the power rack and overhead. And once again, I did that because I wanted the supination where it lay off the shoulder and the bicep, of course. So you're grabbing it from the side, a lot better than having it in front of you, especially when you got some shoulder issues. So go out to Sorenex.com or call them at 803-978-2253, extension 111. Tell them Motivation and Muscle sent you. Next, this is for Albany, New York, or New York residents, Hearts Collision. Go out to heartscollision.com. Lori and Alex have been friends of mine forever, and I'm training their 14-year-old basketball player. 145 at over 6 feet. We got him up to 151. I'll find out tomorrow when he comes here what his new weight is. We wanted to put 10 on him. I've trained this kid strictly with strongman and trap bar. A lot of walking. This is the way to go. This kid is, like, fierce now, and no one's going to knock him around. So he's so excited about this stuff. I think he's going to go in strongman next year. I'm going to have him all winter. We'll have him up to buck 80 or buck 90. Wait till you see this kid. So give him a call at 518-477-7937. Tell him Motivation Muscle sent you. Next, we've got our free ebook, The 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle, on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Put in your email. You get it. No gloss, no pictures, basic, straight like an arrow, right to the friggin' fang, the dart. It's got everything you need in it. It's going to make you think, and anything else I can do for you, don't hesitate to ask. So go out there and check that out. Downloadable piece of cake. Don't forget, we have free intensity training video. Go out and check that out. We've got that all over. We've got strength times power equals success. $7. This is the program I used on a lot of different people, but this was a big program I used on Dennis to lose 43 pounds, and you're going to be seeing a lot more of him because we're going to be training for Iceland very shortly. Next, the Winner's Circle, 12 modules, 27 to 34 minutes long. You're going to trace right from my beginnings, right through the love of power rack, what we call it, sandbag destruction, strength or domination, the return of iron boots. I got a big arm program in there. Great stuff. You can take pieces of it and implement it, or you can take the whole thing. And like I said, I'll work with anybody. You need help, Fiorello Barbell at nicap.r.com, or my phone number is listed there too. Next, I just want to tell everybody, I'm going to be live August 5th on the Sports Doctor. Dr. Wild's been a regular on the show now, and if you go out to healthylife.net on Wednesday, I'm on the end segment, and I don't know exactly when it starts. But I will be live from Chicago talking about Iceland, stone lifting, and anything else. I'm sure we'll get into the whole mental aspect. So go out to healthylife.net, and you can hear yours truly. I can't wait to get that recording. And the guy that does all the magic here, I don't want to forget to ask, Chris Bigelow of monsterdevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. Wait to see what's coming down the road with him we're working on right now. We're going to be the biggest successful place out there. We're going to have over 1 million listeners. I guarantee it. You wait to see what's going to happen here by Christmas. Well, today, we got one of my favorites on here. And if you haven't heard of Dr. William Wong, I'm going to educate you a little bit about him. And then we're going to have him on, and I'm sure he can tell us a host of things, too. I've known Dr. Wong for over 10 years. I've done business with him for years. He's given me the opportunity to speak to him, and I've wanted him to have him on the show forever. Well, we finally got all the Skype stuff and the internet stuff ironed out, and he's on. And, you know, like I've told him before, it's hilarious. It's, you know, the comments I get, where'd you get that guy? Why have you had him on before? You know, and they're like, the guy, you know, just like hits you right between the eyes. And I'm like, we were working on it. Things don't always happen right away, but we got him once a month, and if we can get him more, we're going to. But this is the deal. He's a classical naturopath, all right? He's been doing this stuff. I know it's been over 25 years of experience because I'm reading his bio right now. Sports medicine, rehab. You know, he does a lot of stuff with sexual health and fertility. He has his own podcast, too. I've listened to everything he's ever had. He's a martial artist. I'm going to just read it here. All right. He's been in magazines such as GQ, Black Belt, Survival Guide, The Townsend Letter for Doctors, and Wellbeing Journal. Okay. In 1993, he was inducted in the Martial Arts Hall of Fame. Okay. As I hope I got this all right. Wing Chun Kung Fu. Instructor of the Year. In 2004, after 37 years in the martial arts, Dr. Wong achieved the rank of Grandmaster from the SOKE. I hope that's right. You can correct me. That's SOKE. Castle was awarded a Doctor of Philosophy in the martial arts. This guy's done some shit, man. I can't be happier to have him on here and part of the team here. Dr. Wong, I probably haven't said everything about you, but I tried to give you everything I could today. So welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back on board, and thank you for the kind words.
Well, you're welcome. I love having you here. It's a blast. Give everybody a little bit about you, and today's program ought to be very, very enlightening. We're going to talk about winning programs and winning attitudes, and they do go hand in hand. So if you would, please, just give us information about you.
Well, I have tried to study up on everything I could possibly study up on. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a Renaissance man. And there are some things I haven't gotten to yet, like wine tasting.
Yep.
I can't stand wine. I'm a beer drinker and a beer maker. But
yep.
There are some things I haven't gotten to yet, and I probably won't get to everything I have wanted to get to, but I've gotten the most. And I've been okay at most things. Some things I've been very good at. But sports medicine, physical training, and naturopathic medicine are three of the things that it turned out God allowed me to be very good at. And I'm just passing the information along. I won't consider myself a genius. I don't consider myself to be anything special. I'm just the messenger. It's a fellow upstairs who gives me the data, and I just pass it around. Excuse me.
Well, you know what the thing is, though, and I'm sure you see this a lot, because you know, as I've said before, I'm quite an observer out there, especially with all the mass media and all that stuff out there. And this has become big, especially in the lifting world. You can call it a million different things now, but we'll just leave it to that. There's a lot of experts out there, right? And what I'm finding from a lot of different trainers and coaches are we don't have a lot of experts out there. They're sending these kids at teenage, and I understand this whole thing. They're beating the living shit out of them, literally, all right? And they figure these kids can take the mental stuff and the physical beating more so than, say, a 25-year-old, 35-year-old, 50-year-old. But here's where they lack their knowledge, okay? They don't have the maturity yet. I don't care how old they are, what they pull off, all right? They need, as we're going to talk today, about attitudes, about how to put things together, about how to be mentally sharp. Learn the signs, like you just said to me. If there's something going on, maybe you want to not use that piece of equipment. Or maybe if someone is hurting you, but you're doing it just to rah-rah, push through it, right? You know you're going to have problems. And this is a thing that's coming up now all over. I have a good friend of mine of the show, and you'd like this guy, Gareth Denyer. He's down in Texas, too. I think he's near Fort Worth, but I'm not sure. And he's got a club there. And this guy's graduated high school football players, 100 of them, to Division I. He knows his shit. And he told me the kids coming through the door now, and the parents are really, the big problem with a lot of it, because they all think their kid, the 1%, is right there. And that's fine. I got no problem with that. You're proud of your kids. You want to see them. But the parents don't know enough when to back the hell off. They're bringing them these kids to these guys. You know, anybody can hang a shingle out. Yeah, I squatted 500, right? All right, I've got this trophy and all this shit. Good for you. But you know what they're doing? They're damaging the health of these kids and their psyche. And a lot of these kids are going to get hurt, or they're going to get mentally destroyed and never come back. And I don't like this whole thing. And this will kind of segue into everything here. Now, Dr. Wong, you've seen a lot of things, man. You've been around top-class athletes. You've trained top-end athletes. Let's just kind of trace back a little bit with it. What do you see now? I mean, you know how to put programs together. You know how to change things up. You can see if things aren't working, and you can tell just mentally by how athletes act. What do you think now? I mean, you know, is a winning program got to have every diagnostic to it now? And I think a lot of this shit is for show. But, you know, it seems now everything is so damn involved, and you've got to measure this and do that. What do you think about with programs? Let's talk years ago, and then let's talk 2015. How would you approach a winning program right now in today's world?
Let me give you exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
In terms of something that I experienced back in the 78-79 season. I was a testing assistant with Lenox Hill Center for Sports Medicine. We were testing the Jets.
Yep.
Preseason, to see how well we could predict their performance during the season. So we did all sorts of Cybex testing on their knees, their shoulders, flexibility testing to see who was more flexible. We did all sorts of range of motion stuff. We did all this, we did all that. And then they compiled all the data and they crunched all the numbers. And Richard Todd had just taken over for Joe Namath.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, hell of a thing to take over for Broadway Joe.
Sure, sure.
Joe Namath was, I think he was traded, or he asked to be traded down to Miami, and they did. Todd had stepped into Namath's shoes, and all of the physiological testing said he was going to have a fantastic year. All the doctors were raving about how he had scored so high in every single test, the knee extension, shoulder flexion, the forward flexion, this range of motion, that range of motion, the back Cybex test, all this stuff. And I looked in his eyes. Very simple thing. I looked in his eyes and I said, "You're burned out and you feel shitty, don't you? You're going to have a lousy year." I didn't say that to him.
Right.
I didn't say a word to him.
Yep.
Just did the test that I was supposed to do with him. But I knew by the look in his eyes mm-hmm. that he was going to have a bad year. And he had a lousy year. They were in the basement.
Yep. Yep.
So, you know, all this fancy testing, if you remember, what was that Rocky movie? Where
Rocky IV?
The Russian guy does all this testing.
Right.
It was the exact same stuff we used to do at Lenox Hill.
Yep.
And you know, that is okay, but it doesn't even give you a baseline, because as we're leading into here, it doesn't tell you where your heart is, and it doesn't tell you where your motivation is, and it doesn't tell you how much of a warrior you've got inside of you.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's funny. You and I must have be on the same wavelength in the last few days. I'm going to tell you something you're going to enjoy here. As everybody knows, we feel we're ready to turn the corner now and make this thing bigger than life, which we feel it is already. it's been monumental, and, you know, a lot of struggle, but that's the way it goes, and you got to be able to go through the struggle and do it, and it's at all costs now. Everything we do here, it's just to get over the next hump, you know, turn the corner, make some more currency, put more into the business, et cetera, but we're talking on a show, and I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and what I would like to do within the next 24 months is I'm going to go find somewhere, whether it's Iceland, it could be Russia, it could be up in the mountains, but I want to find a facility where maybe there's a guy like when they trained Tiki Barber up in the hills, man, where he was using pressing logs and in the woods and all that, and I do a lot of that here. I'd like to find a facility where it's got a home, and it could have a dirt floor and a barn like in the Rocky movie in Rocky IV. Yeah. Give me my rocks, give me my weights, make sure I've got sledgehammers, axes, and all that. And I would like to go out there, whether I've got to hunt my own food or I'll get it all and have it brought in. And I would say this to anybody that wants to do it, you can come. I want to go live basic as possible. I'll have the ability to get whatever I need. That's fine. You know, I'm not going to sleep out in the cold, but we're going to keep it as rustic as possible. I'd like to see how much I could harden my soul, how much more I could take, how much more I could do. I'd like to do that for a full year. That's what I'd like to do. I think you want to talk about steel eyes, steel jaw, steel everything. It's a good way to measure. Can you take this? Do you have the attitude? Do you have the strength within to be able to go out and chop wood in the snow for an hour straight? Do you have the ability to go in a garage that's not overly heated, which I'm very used to, and do your training? I would like to have like a little foundry there. I would like to have anvils with big hammers and beat the living snot out of metal all day. I don't care. I want to pull sleds across the snow. I want to do things that would test me even more. And I feel, especially with you with the Jets, you know something? I respect any athlete to a point, but my vision now, Doc, is a lot different of athletics. You don't have to go out there and kill yourself, but I like doing different things. You know, like a few weeks ago, there I am out walking in the rain with a 50 to 100-pound sandbag. The 50 blew a hole in it. I didn't care. I was flipping it up in the air, getting covered in sand. You couldn't even see the front of me from down in my Converse. And the shirt was all covered in mud. I was a mess, right? It's little things like that I like to do now more than just doing, okay, can you go in and squat? Yeah, it's still a big deal. But it's things like that, I think, that shape your mentality, shape your heart, and put you in a situation where no matter what comes at you, you're going to give your best no matter what. What do you think about things like that? I mean, with the going away and all that. If you had me, say I was your athlete, and I said to you, I'm going away for a year, and you said, well, you know what, I'm going to try to get out and see you at least a half a dozen times a year, and we're going to measure your progress. What kind of athlete do you think you would have at that point?
You know, you would have a guy who would have Joseph Campbell put it very, very well. The lover in us dreams great dreams, but it's the warrior in us that achieves those dreams. And most of us have the lover, but we don't have the warrior. Mm-hmm. So your lover has dreamed this great dream. The lover inside of you has dreamed this great dream to go out and go out into the woods and lift logs and break stones. Yep. And meld iron, and that's great. And now, the test of it all will be your will, mm-hmm. building your warrior to actually go out and do that. And when you do, that warrior will be with you forever. You've already got the warrior. So you don't have to worry. But some guy who's never done anything like that, some guy who's never lifted a weight, I mean, mm-hmm. never wanted to come off the sofa, just plays video games, yes, oh yeah, I'm this great warrior on this video game. Okay? But yep. What kind of warrior are you for real? If the chips are down and you had to draw your gun or you had to draw a knife or you had to put up your fists, what kind of warrior are you?
Yep. Do you feel, I'm talking right now, my skin feels warm when we're talking. I can, because I it's blood. I can feel it. All right. It's like calling me. I mean, right now when I'm telling you that story and you're replying back to me, my hands feel like they're pumping up, literally. This is what I want to ask you. Do you think, and I'll see what you say to this, but I've come up with this assumption because I train alone so much. Do you feel the great lifter, the good lifter, and maybe it doesn't matter, but I know you've seen so much, is the solitary man, the man that can go out at zero and let a bar stick to his throat or train in snow by himself with nobody saying, you can do it, do they become the better lifter, the better athlete?
Anyone who absolutely needs external motivation is a weakling.
Okay.
Because without that external motivation, what are you?
Yeah,
if you don't have your own inbuilt internal motivation, if you're not the solitary guy, if you're not the okay, if you're not Josie Wales,
yeah, I love him.
If you're not Josie Wales, just out there by yourself slinging your guns, if you need a cheerleading section, what the fuck are you? What the fuck good are you without your cheerleading section, which you're not always going to have? Your cheerleading section will be there while you're doing great, but the second you slip 1 second, they're gone.
Yeah, they don't want nothing to do.
Right. Shouldn't you be your own cheerleading section? Shouldn't all the motivation and gratitude come from within? If you need external motivation, you're a weakling.
Yeah, you're right. What about the solitary guy? Does he get the girl or not?
Well,
that's what
I
want to know.
It usually takes him a while because he sloughs off the airheads, but he usually gets the really good girl at the end.
Well, you know something? I think there's a lot to strength because a good woman will always recognize strength of character, strength internally. And you know what? There's a lot of good men out there that lift and are good, responsible, and strong people. And it's like a lot of these people, I think especially girls in general, are starting to discover that, you know, I'd rather have a man like that than some friggin', you know, sister-wearing jean, dyed-haired guy out there. What could he do? In a fight, I mean, nothing. If he had to defend his woman's honor or something, and I think some of these girls are finally getting the message with a lot of this. You know,
in the 1970s, there was a study done in England, and women wanted men who were more feminine in their outlook and more understanding and more whatever.
Sure.
So 30 years later, they redid the exact same study, and by that time, the women had discovered that those men who were kind and understanding and quiet and feminine-like were horrible nest builders, and what they really wanted was some big burly guy who would build their nest so that they and their babies could be safe, and some guy who will actually go out and work, because those nice, feminine, soft guys will stay home and polish their nails all the damn time and not get a really good job and support anybody. They'll expect the woman to do the work.
Yep. Well, it's a strange thing, but you know, that's a whole other story right there. You know something, too, I want to tell you, and I'm sure you felt this. You know, everybody knows, you know, I want to get back and get that stone and conquer it finally. And I tell you this, and I think this is a big thing with all types of training and your devotion and your discipline and your actions and stuff. And there's some days, like when you were just talking to me when we were talking about, you know, going somewhere for a year and just hardening yourself to no end. When we were talking about that, other than like the blood rush I was getting through my body, one thing popped up in my head quickly, and it was like Iceland. It was almost like there's somebody standing there in my mind's eye and calling me, like waving me, come. It's like, you know, it's like it's here, it's waiting for you. And I get that in my head a lot of times, and it's subconscious, I'm sure, because I'm not sitting there thinking about it and suddenly it flashes in my head. Have you found let's talk about you personally here, if you don't mind. You've done some big things, obviously, and I don't know what situations you've been in. I'm just giving my example. Have you ever been in situations where there was something, whether you failed at initially and you got it, but in the meantime, while you're trying to get back to it, training harder, knowing what you got to do, to get there, and we know there's no guarantees. Have you ever felt that, like, something is calling you, like, at different times? Have you ever felt that, Doc?
Always. You know, we all need to run on our intuition.
Yep.
And here is one thing that maybe being a bit more sensitive would help, in that the guys really need to listen to that little still voice inside their heads, or inside their hearts. It's mostly in their heart. When you get that gut feeling, it's right about the middle of your chest, whether it's about a girl, or maybe your future with that girl, or maybe your lack of future with that girl.
Or I'm going to run.
Or it's about a job, or it's about what you need to be doing, or it's about the direction you need to be in going in life. You need to listen to that little voice. Because the first time God has something to tell you, he'll give you a little tiny whisper. And if you don't listen to him, then he'll give you a little bit of a nudge. And if you don't listen to that, he'll give you a shove. And if you don't listen to the shove, he'll wind up kicking your ass. By that time, you're going to be hurt. And you might be out of the time phase that you needed to be in to get whatever you needed accomplished done. So start listening. Start being intuitive. Start listening to those inklings and following them. If your brain tells you that you have to turn right at the traffic light, but where you need to go is left, you damn well better listen to that little voice telling you to go right, because if you turn left, you're going to get smacked by a truck. So got to listen to that little voice, and then the more you listen to it, the stronger it gets, and the better influence it has in your life, and the more correct and happy your life will be, because you're not swimming against the tide.
Well, and I remember my chiropractor, God rest his soul, he used to always say, listen to innate. Listen to innate. And at first I was like, okay. And then he explained it all to me, and it's like, we do have this intelligence within us, like you said, it's guarding us. It's telling us what to do. It's that, like, that voice, like you said. And it's very important. And I know in today's world, we shut off a lot of internal stuff because we're too busy externally. I mean, for instance, I talked to my brother a couple weeks ago, and he was driving down a main street that's in Albany, and he says he sees this guy walking on the sidewalk, coming up to the curb to cross, head down. He knew that he was texting and all that shit. He probably had headphones in. My brother said I stopped the car because I knew if I didn't, I would have run him over. This guy literally was looking down, walked off a curb, and kept walking. And my brother said it's a wonder he didn't get run over by a car. Even if he was warned internally, I think a lot of people have shut that gate off because they don't feel it's worth their time. And there's no point of listening to something that they feel isn't going to help them out. This is where I think now, where we live, this is why I think you're seeing so much turmoil in people and so much with people. I don't know what to do. A guy told me the other day, a guy that we mutually know, and I was like, well, how's he doing, blah, 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 because I know that he lost someone in his family. I understand all that. But it's been a few months now, and he said, well, he's depressed. And I was like, depressed? How long are you going to stay depressed? Well, he's probably going to go see a doctor. I said, well, the minute you do that, you just put your shit in somebody else's hands that's going to be more than happy to drug you up because it's going to make you feel a little better for a while, and then you're going to even be in a bigger hole. And this is where this snags me all out with people, because, look, I know people have some legitimate problems, and I know one shoe doesn't fit all. But you know something? A lot of this stuff is all bullshit to begin with. How about getting out and getting a little physical? Or how about just taking a walk to clear your head? Or maybe if you don't like what you're doing, how about changing it? Why is it the things in our life that are so important we put so little time in, but when someone says to you, I can give you a blue pill to make this do this for you, we're jumping on that like it's the best thing in the world.
Well, this is exactly connected to the external motivation thing.
Yep.
He didn't have the internal motivation to get himself out of the crap he was in. So he's looking to the outside for help because he is not listening to his little voice to get himself out of the trouble that he's in or the depression that he's in. He can't find his way out, so he's reaching out for help. And unfortunately, these days, you reach out for help and they'll screw up your brain.
Oh, big time. I've met, you know something? You know what I find more than anything is when people finally will talk to you, which is a thing that we're losing more and more of. And you can see the way people are. But I'll tell you what, I've talked to people where if they've got a minute in them of being able to focus, that's a lot.
Yep.
I mean, I'm talking, I'm like, how do these people, like, they got to have their phone in their hand and it's going bah, 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 a million miles an hour with their fingers, all right? And constantly looking up at it, I'm like, what could be that interesting there? And what are you getting that I'm missing here, okay? How come you can't even look me straight in the eye and speak to me? How come you got
to You're one of the people who is resistant to the hypnotic programming that's inbuilt in those, in the computers, in the tablets, in the phones. You're a little older than the current generation, even though I know people who are in their 60s who are stuck to their phones.
Yep.
And it's all they see is this little swirling thing like on the Twilight Zone. And you look in their eyes, and there ain't nobody there. Where the frick are you? Where is your soul? When you look into the eyes of these people, they're just empty. They've been drinking the Kool-Aid, you know?
Not a doubt. Hey, I don't let anybody, and they won't bring them back here anyways, anybody that comes to train is told that you leave your phone in the car. I don't want it back here. I said, look, if you want to run out every 15 minutes, if it's an emergency, okay, I got it. But other than that, if it's not life or death, you know what you can do with that phone? You can stick it, all right? Because I am so sick of going out and going to a restaurant and seeing, I assume, boyfriend and girlfriend or couple, married. They don't speak to each other. They're hardly eating their food. You know what they're doing the whole damn time they're there? They're texting, man. I'm like, that would be the day I'd go out with a girl. Because I'm going to tell you what I'd do. I'd say, I got to go to the bathroom. I'd walk right out the back.
Yeah. Leave her with the bill.
Oh, look, leave her with the bill. Yeah. Call her up on her phone and say, hey, I'm not here anymore if you noticed. You know, it's like, what in the God's name is so important? And it's like, you know something? I've always been a guy this way going out with girls, Doc, and I'm sure you're the same type. If we're out on a date, I don't care who walks in. Everybody looks. It could be someone really good looking. But you know something? When you're with somebody, you owe them at least the respect, and they owe you the respect of your attention is on them.
Yes.
You're listening to them. You know, you're a gentleman. Same way with her, gentlewoman. You know, have a little fun. Have a few laughs. But I'll tell you what, if you can't do that, and I think this all goes down with the training and the attitude and the whole protocol of what we're talking about today, because people understand, if you learn physical strength, if you learn the winning attitude, if you learn to build program after program after program, it cannot, and I repeat, it cannot do anything but enhance your life in every direction you go into. And why you're asking? Because you have built a capacity of winning. You've got through a program. Maybe you competed. You won. Maybe you've had some of the hardest things. Maybe you've had family matters. You know, you've lost a loved one. But because of hopefully you've had great upbringing, and then you've added on this physical strength, this programming, this mental programming, guess what? You know, this is my thing, Doc. This is always what it's been with me. Even if you get knocked down on your back, if you're looking up, you still can get up.
Exactly.
Okay? And I just feel these things are so vital and important. And don't forget, man, I mean, this isn't like a love show we're having here. But these are all things that are in everybody's life, and they're very important, especially if it's somebody you care about or you're married to. You know, it's nice to have somebody that's watching your back. I think that's the greatest thing. I won't date anybody or go out with anybody, or if I even decide to get married. If you wouldn't go to death for me, then... You know, but my attitude is a lot different than a lot of other men. And I'm sure you and I share this in a lot of ways, because we've put ourselves through a lot of mental anguish, whether it was purposeful or not. And we've put ourselves through physical beating, year in, year out, day after day, month after month. I got to tell everybody out there, if you haven't had this happen to you, it's going to change you mentally forever. And it's going to make you different with people. Things that people like, you're probably not going to like. things that they do that are important, you could probably give a shit, all right? What's happened to me, I know, is in the last 2.5 years, I can tell everybody, and I stress this to everybody, go out and build a business, be an entrepreneur, do something different, test yourself, your will, your mettle. I'll tell you this, things that used to bother me, I could care less about anymore. People that I was very good friends with that never understood what I was doing, I don't really see them much anymore. Have I grown with different people now that I never knew? Absolutely. There's a metamorphosis that happens, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go right to where Dr. Wong said, there's an innate intelligence when all this stuff is going down. I'm telling you right now, listen to it, but most of all, it's leading you. And I'm telling you right now, if I didn't listen to a lot of things that were going on internally, I wouldn't be talking to Dr. Wong or any of you right now. So I leave it right over to you, sir.
You know, one of my Goonfu brothers, Kenny Scala, who, by the way, is the guy you remind me a heck of a lot of, one of the toughest men I've ever met, had this philosophy. And I've heard this philosophy from others. I adopted this philosophy way back in the 70s. He said, you know, there are friends, enemies, and neutrals, and acquaintances. But friends are people you would die for. If you wouldn't die for them, they're not your friend. They're just an acquaintance, and they're neutral. And so, you know, you have all these people out there, oh, I've got 40,000 friends on Facebook. Do you really?
Yeah,
I mean,
really.
Do you really? Have you met them? Are they nice folks? If the poop hit the fan, would you share your home with them? Would you share your meal with them? Would they die for you? Would you die for them? If the answer is no, they ain't your friends.
Absolutely, without a doubt. It's I've always, you know, our family, and it started with my father more, and my mother too. Absolutely, my father was always a big guy that believed in loyalty. And I obviously am my father's son. You know, my father was full-blood Italian from Boston. You know, they lived in shit. They came up from nothing. Every generation's done better. I mean, my grandfather, for Christ's sake, there was 13 of them. You know, I mean, living in these tenement shitholes in Boston. But, you know, they never knew it was a shithole. Because what they did, and my great-grandfather died young, my grandfather was the oldest. He had to take over the family with my my great grandmother. The thing I'm trying to stress here is this, you know, there's a lot of great things that are done that we don't hear about because it's not fashionable and it's nothing the media wants to talk about. But I'm telling you right now, and this all goes to winning attitudes, winning ways, and everything. And this is where I believe you hit perfectly on in the innate piece because it just really came to me. Sometimes we don't even know why we're doing the good things we do, and that is all that innate intelligence, because we're a source and a being, I believe, that when you listen, and this all comes with practice and being around people with a lot of vitality and just go after things for the sake of going after them, because it's not only the enjoyment, it's the ability to say, I did it, I went through it, I figured out a program to get it done, and here I am sitting here today telling you all about it. And when I see things like that, especially through my family, you know, with the loyalty thing, I got to tell you, Dr. Wong, it used to kind of hurt me. Because I'm the kind of guy, you help me once, you have the best friend forever. And even if you don't help me, you'll still have a great friend. I've always stuck with people right to the end. I don't know if I would say I do that so much now because of a lot of the controversy that's happened with me in the last few years with people. But you got to look at it from their perspective. Most of them don't even have the nutsack to get out of bed and tell somebody to get the fuck off the front lawn. You know what I mean? That's like what it's come to now. So a lot of my values have changed. I don't think bad, good. I'm not going to even ponder that. But loyalty will never change for me. And I think it comes from that whole Italian thing. And I know there's all other different people that, you know, that are just as dangerous at one time. But I'm talking about a time way back when the Italians came over here, like the Irish, everybody, they're treated like dogs. We know all that. But, of course, the Cosa Nostra was created, and whether you agree with it or not, I think initially it was a good thing. Now there's no such thing to me unless you go to Sicily and go there. But that's neither here nor there. But I think it's an Italian thing with me. It's like I require the people that I really care about to be loyal. And if you can't be loyal with me and I won't give you that back, then we have nothing.
Exactly.
It's like just what you said before. You're going to have friends, and then you're going to have real friends. Well, I guess I would put that in the same segment where, in some ways, reminds me of Iceland. I'm a young enough guy to know the whole deal with a lot of things, but I'll tell you this. I've definitely got one foot in the old world and one foot in this world, and that's for sure. And I think that's what spirals me into a lot of different things. Some I should get into, some I should stay the F out. That's it.
Well, it gives you balance.
Yeah.
You know, we're not so stuck in the old ways that we're an anachronism or can't function in the present world, but we're not so loving of the present world that we let ourselves get caught up in all the damn fads, because everything today is just this fad going into that fad going into that fad to cloud people's minds, to cloud their judgments. And here, let me give you a statistic that's going to shock the hell out of you.
Okay.
Since 2006, only since 2006, the average U.S. IQ has dropped by 15 points.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
15 frickin' points.
Yep.
You know, 15 points doesn't seem like a lot, but the difference between a 90 IQ and 105 IQ is a lot. And the difference between a 90 IQ and a 75 IQ, you know, there are some countries where the average IQ is around the 70s to the 80s. Here in the States, we used to institutionalize people like that.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, the average IQ here was in the low 90s. Now it's even lower. God, no wonder we're getting so damn stupid. No wonder we've got our noses in those little fucking screens all the damn time. Wonder we can't come up with the ability to strengthen our bodies, and by strengthening our bodies, strengthening the warrior within us, the willpower. When we talk about the warrior within us, it's all in the willpower. We have no willpower because we don't have the internal strength to go out and get the external strength.
Well, do you think a lot of it's from just life being too easy now?
Between the fluoride in the water, and you know, Hitler put fluoride in the water in the concentration camps. Did he care about the dental hygiene of the Jews?
I mean,
come on, seriously. You know, Hitler put fluoride in the concentration camps water because it made people more mentally malleable.
Absolutely.
Look, all of the shows on television, are they there to increase your IQ? Or
are
they there to lower your IQ and make you think that life is stupid, men are stupid, whites are stupid, people are stupid, this group is stupid, that group is stupid? You know, there is nothing in the general media, there is nothing in general society that is trying to make you smarter. Everything is trying to make you stupider. And if you go along with the fucking program, you're even more stupid. You deserve to get what you're going to get.
Well, and I don't see that getting better. And this is why when we do the full 360 here, this is why I believe, we know all the stuff that's going on with schools. Well, we probably don't know half of what's really going on. But I've watched a lot of these athletes. I like to go to football games, high school and all that, mainly because, you know, my brother-in-law is a head coach in football. I see a lot of these kids, and maybe it comes back to coaching or whatever. I don't know. They a lot of them aren't real impressive. Some are good. But one thing I see, you know, we were talking about the attitude and the brain and internally. I see a lot of them, especially when you get near the end of the game, a lot of them look physically broken to me. Now, I don't know if it's the mental and the physical, or just the mental, but, you know, one can't exist without the other. And the thing that with me is, especially with, you know, I've got a 14-year-old athlete here, The first thing I made him do was go out and get the book Think and Grow Rich. And he looked at me like, what? He never heard of the book. 1930s. Well, why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because not only does it kind of teach you about money, but it teaches you more than money. It teaches you a way of thinking, a way to act, a way to conduct yourself. And I'll say, well, aren't parents supposed to do that? Well, he's got great parents, yes. But this is another perspective, and it was a book that I had in college in all my business courses that I had one of the greatest professors, Frank Klein, and he used to coach semi-pro football. So, when a couple of guys walk through the room like us, right away he knows what he's got sitting there. He doesn't know what we do, but he can tell just by body structure. And I hit it off big with this guy. I mean, I had him for almost every business class. I mean, this was the kind of guy, you want to talk about getting your ass kicked? You'd have a full auditorium of people, and he'd get up, and he was like one of these guys. He was a big guy, had the big walrus mustache, and he was kind of a guy, I don't know if I'd want to say standoffish, but like you could tell he didn't take any bullshit from anybody. And he was just kind of explaining the course, and he kind of would laugh, and he'd say, and by the way, 95% of your grade in the last quarter, you're going to either work with someone or on your own. You're going to either have to take a product that's already out there or just develop one yourself. You're going to have to put it all together and stand up and give it verbally. Well, I got news for you. Have you ever heard of Stampede? That's what it sounded like in that class. Dude, Doc, they were running for the door.
Yeah.
Running, man. I stayed in. I'll tell you what. Think and Grow Rich I still have from him. The binding's busted. The pages are hanging out of it. I keep pushing them in. Sentimentally, I will never get rid of it. Secondly, it taught me a lot of life lessons, and it taught me about having a winning attitude.
Think of what you learned in that book. You dreamt about something. You created something in your mind, in your willpower, and then you turned it into a tangible object.
Yep.
So it starts in the mind with the lover. It goes to the will with the warrior.
Yep.
And then it comes into fruition as a material thing. Exactly the way Joseph Campbell said it does. So, that book gave you the foundation for starting with the mental object and going to the physical object.
Yeah. Well, and all the things I've done through the years, whether it's training or whatever, but, here you and I are sitting. I mean, never in the years I've known you did I ever think you and I would be sitting here doing a podcast. Look where we are today. Here we are. Fiorello Barbell Company, getting ready to unleash all new stuff, and much more coming, much more video. When you talk about, that whole route of how we're going, from lover to will, and then you had the byproduct sitting right there. Well, if anybody wants to know, where I'm sitting right now is what I've done through that book and experienced through the years. And it's the greatest thing you could ever do in your life. I'm proud in respect to this. I started this company like you from a seedling, okay? Did I have an idea what I want to do? Absolutely. But here we go again. Innate, internally, sometimes throws you a curveball, and you have to kind of follow or bend left, right, bend back, never snap, and you go to the next thing and you get it. And eventually, you're seeing more and more coming. You're growing. You're starting now to be able to make a living. You're helping people. You're giving solutions. And not only that, and I'll say this, and I know you know this, and I've had massive people tell me, these shows have more content than anybody out there, I'm told. We put content out here. A lot of people charge for it. We don't, okay? Because I look at it like this. There's a lot of people listening to you and I today that hopefully have been stubbing their toe for a long time. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. But when you're hearing Dr. Wong and myself going back and forth and talking about winning, talking about building programs, listening to yourself internally, you know something? that thing you might have been looking for the last 10 years and paying out the ass to somebody that could give two shits about you, guess what? You walked into Motivation Muscle, and tonight or tomorrow morning, you're starting the whole new gig. So that's where I think that we come in with, well, you and I had come in with fury on every show anyways, but I like doing that because I want people to stand up when they listen to you and I or anybody on here say, you know, like they say to me, you know, where did you find Dr. Wong? I said, well, I've known him through the years. I've done business with him. You know, that guy is friggin' crazy. And I'm like, crazy, though, in a way that is so knowledgeable. But they don't mean it in a disrespectful way because it's like when I listen to him, I stand up. When I listen to him, my ears go up, all right? That is so important to what we are dealing with right now in society and people in general. Did I get you?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, so what do you think? Go ahead. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like this stuff is not only big, but it's beneficial, I guess I would say.
You know, it's a lesson that some folks will pick up and, yep. And other folks will hear, and they will be entirely unable to develop the warrior within. They will be entirely unable to get the willpower going, either because they don't have it in them genetically, yep. or because they don't have it in them spiritually, or because they're just too frickin' lazy to get up off the sofa.
That's,
one way or the other, they're, you yep. know, they'd love to have a 20-inch arm. They'd love to be able to lift 450 over their heads. They'd love to be able to squat in the 500s.
But I've been sick. I don't feel well. Now, maybe I'll start tomorrow.
And they do the droopy dog thing, and they never get off their ass and actually do it because they have a weak willpower. They have a weak warrior. And that's where they need to start remembering that just because they can envision something, it doesn't instantly come to fruition. It comes to fruition through effort, and the effort comes from the willpower, and the willpower comes from the warrior within.
Well, and you know what? This is one thing I'm going to pose this question to you. You know, we're talking about winning programs. You were involved with the Jets, and I'm sure a ton of other stuff. But I can tell you this, and this will be interesting in what you say, because I know where you're going to go with it, I'm sure. And I'm 100% with you. How many programs have you scripted for people? Because I've done plenty. And, you know, we'll call it like the name of the show today, Winning Program. How many programs have you done where they've basically fallen flat on their face? And we know with the winning attitude, the will and all that, because you just went over that nice and cleanly, and that's very understandable. But why is it? I mean, we know, you know, maybe I don't feel good and all this, but what is it with, how come we can't even construct a goddamn program to make them go? Or if they go, they're at half speed. What has your experience been when you've done programs for people? And I know you're the kind of guy like me that, you know, you want to give your all, you work hard, and you want to see success, but you can't make people successful until they want to be. So what is it with these programs or anything? What have you've had 40, 50 years here of this. What is the common denominator, you think, with all that?
You know, the guys who succeeded, who kept the work up, who stayed strong, the teams that kept the effort up and stayed strong throughout the season, were the ones who kept the level head about it. The guys who went overboard and did more than the work you suggested that they do, all burned out. You know, that's one of the things that I saw happening with a pro basketball team that shall remain nameless. They played all year. They almost won the NBA championship. They were doing super well. Then they went off and toured Europe. They toured Israel over the summer. The guys didn't have 2 weeks off the entire dang year between one season and the other. And the next season they came back and, we're going to win the championship this year. They never made it out of the bottom of the charts. I'll use a baseball term. They never made it out of the basement because the guys were so freaking burned out and wasted that they could barely run across the court. That was also a very high injury year for them.
Oh, yeah.
So either they do too much because they think that more is better. More is only better in sex and money and coffee, folks. You know, so more is not better in terms of training.
Yeah.
And then you got the guys who don't do enough. So it's either extreme, the guys who don't do enough or don't do anything, and the guys who do too damn much. Either extreme is bad.
Well, what I find with me, especially I use me as an example, I have found, especially having to work around with all this shoulder BS, and I don't like it, but now that I'm kind of back on the straight and narrow and hopefully it improves, what I'm doing is a lot of very short, heavy, concentrated stuff. I'm out of this. I'm out of here in 40 minutes.
Yep.
I got that egg timer going. I've told you before. I believe it was Saxon that used to do that. When that thing went off, he was done no matter what.
Right.
Because I'll tell you two reasons why. You know, the other night when I trained, Wednesday night, I have a thermometer in the garage. It's been, well, I'm not telling you anything with Texas. It was 100 degrees in there, okay? I did good mornings in there, and I got to tell you honestly, there wasn't a drop of air in there. I mean, you almost felt like you were going to suffocate. And I'm walking out, wetting a towel, just putting it over my head, on the back of my neck, just to try to keep a little coolness. Didn't do a damn thing because it was lukewarm within, it felt like 2 seconds. But the idea was to get through the workout. You know, I did some good mornings, fairly heavy. You know, did a lot of grip and neck work. I was going to do a little more, but I said, the timer's going to go off. I know that. But here's where you learn and become wise. What I did that night was more than adequate because, first of all, I don't care how conditioned you are. It's 100 degrees in the back of that garage. It's going to play on you. And I try to go, I like the play deal because I want to see mentally if I can withstand any of this shit. All right. But I felt this way. If I even added another heavy exercise, are you going to be able to come back, say, in 2 days? Or are you going to re-injure or anything like that? And not being a pussy about it either. But using your head in a way where Eric wants to enhance his lifting now. Eric's got all this power in him where he wants to start utilizing it again instead of just storing it and get out there. And number three, it's like this. I want to train until I'm 100 years old. I don't want to be some broken down old son of a bitch that can't do anything. This is how I'm looking at the rest of my life. So it's not here in 2015, all right? I'm looking at tens of decades of years down the road that I want to do this. So it's not all for nothing right now. What it is we're going to build something better than we were prior to the shoulder bullshit. And I know this time when I go away, and I know when I go to Scotland, my plan is I'm just going to pick these things up like they're not even there, and whether I've got to walk them, stand them, whatever it is, that's just going to be the way it is. And when you can develop that type of thought, and you know, sometimes an injury is a blessing in disguise, I hate to say it, but it does change your attitude. It teaches you how to train around things, but most of all, you get to see if you're defeated mentally. And there's no half-assed, and there's no full-out. Are you going to do it or not? So that's how I've been approaching everything. Not only that, we know shorter ones, you produce more T, and you produce more growth hormone. And I don't want to be sitting there roasting my system in 100-degree weather to say, okay, I curled 150 that night with an Apollon axle. Great. Is that going to friggin' matter, though, when I'm down for 3 or 4 days in a row? Because I'm heat fatigued, first of all, and I'm just not feeling it physically. So my attitude now, Doc, is to do the heaviest stuff you can do, and even if it's one movement, maybe some grip, like I said, network, and you get the hell out of there.
Exactly, yes. Yes, and that's training-wise.
Yeah. And not only that, I like the feeling mentally of that, because, you know, when you go against rain or snow or cold, or extreme heat, I just feel it readies not only the body, but it readies the mind, because no matter what's going on around you, you have enough energy, you have that big ball like in your navel where everything is right below there. Uh-huh. You got that big ball of energy, man, that when you have to call upon that, Even if you got a half an hour of that, that's better than trying an hour and a half when you're dripping wet and you can't move shit at that point.
Exactly.
That
was always one of my problems with the Nautilus principle of training to exhaustion.
Oh, God, yes.
That super high intensity, the SHIT training,
just
turned you into a pile of SHIT.
Exactly.
And killed your mitochondria, because the more you burn, make the muscles burn, more mitochondria you're killing in your muscles, and the less work you're going to be able to do downline, because you're basically giving yourself a case of mononucleosis.
Absolutely. And, I wish we had statistics. Can you imagine the injuries off those machines if you're going full tilt, maximum every workout? I mean, there's no doubt that you're blowing shoulders and elbows and everything out.
It was
that
the orthopedist's best friend. machines and treadmills. It really wasn't the machines. It was the principles that were being applied to it. And I don't quite think that they were being applied exactly the way... Oh, who was the Nautilus guy?
Arthur Jones.
I don't quite think that they were being applied the way that Jones had meant them to be applied.
Right.
I think that everyone's ego got in the way. I'm going to train till my arms fall off. Okay.
I don't give a shit.
Go ahead.
Your arms were 17 at one point. Now they're down to 12.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, something? You said it before. More is not better. And it's like, learn. It's like anything. Do you need more calories today? Okay. Do you need more the next day? Well, maybe I don't, so we lessen them up. Same with training. Okay, what are we going to do tonight? Well, we're going to press real heavy, whether it's dead stop overhead, or we're going to pick some massive dumbbells up and either do one arms or two. No, as Josie Wales said, I think that was the one, a man's got to know his limitations.
Yep.
No, that was Dirty Harry.
That was Magnum Force, yeah.
Yeah, Magnum Force. But you know what I mean? There's a lot to that. There is a point. There might be days you're just not feeling it. If I'm going to say I'm going to press a 120-pound dumbbell and I don't feel it, well, if I'm a smart lifter, maybe I'm only going to go to 90 tonight, all right? Because the body's not going to know the difference. If the body's got fatigue and you drop it 30 pounds, who cares if it's 120? The body's going to respond to whatever's put on it. Now, you go to put 120 on, if you can clean it and then try to press it, chances are maybe you'll get one and you've got to work your ass off to get it.
And maybe
and
you're
all
hurdy-gurdy.
That's what I was going to say. You're all hurdy-gurdy. Next thing you know, boom. But if you use your brain and you use that attitude you built, you know something? It ain't going to matter. And most of the time it's the ego that gets your ass in trouble because you're like, you think that people are all watching you, and who cares? That was a big thing with Iceland and the Husafell Stone. I think I've told you this before on the show, but if not, we'll go quick. I can remember people saying to me when I came back, and nobody said I told you so, and that was nice. They knew. That was like quicksand with me, okay? But one thing I came to rationalize with, and once again, John Ridge, my chiropractor, said to me one day, and I wish I could do his New Hampshire voice because I can hear him in my ear right now saying it. He was, Eric, do you realize what you did? And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, you went over there. You didn't worry about public sentiment about it. You went with a group of guys. You had a lot of fun. You picked it up. So what? You tore the arm. I know it's something you don't want to even think about or go over. I said, I can go over it. It doesn't bother me anymore. I said, I never really had any problems with it. And he goes, you realize how many people have probably lifted that thing? I said, I don't know. He goes, probably not a lot, man. And he goes, a lot of people won't go over there who are really good at different varying lifts, because if they blow that lift, suddenly their mystique is gone. And he goes, I know you well enough that you never cared about those things. I said, I never did, because you know what? I don't care who you are. You go over and do something like that and you take the chance, I've got more respect for you than anything you've ever done in the weight room. That's how I've always approached my life. That's how I've always approached lifting. Did it feel good? Hell no. Hell no. To have a major injury like that, to have to come back. But you know what? One of the guys in Iceland said to me, I'll never forget it, and at the time I wasn't real happy to hear it, but they all had the same shit too. You've got a permanent scar on that arm from Iceland. That means something, Doc. That means something,
yeah.
I'm telling you.
Like a Purple Heart.
Absolutely. And it shapes you as a man in a whole different way. And, you know, you got to come back. You got to do all the shit to get back. And, you know, hopefully mentally you beat it. I beat it. I don't even go there. The first time I lifted a stone, I was very nervous. I pulled it up, went up easy. I had, one of those rubber sleeves on just to keep it warm and stuff. And immediately I put the thing down and I tore that thing down my arm and said, is my arm all right? My arm was all right. That was it. You know what I mean? That was the last time that we ever had to go over that again. So, you know, nobody out there is neutral to anything happening to them. Anything can happen. But when you're going to go out and play in that big battlefield like that, things can happen. And it's like, I know you're never, I was never prepared for that. Never. I mean, I don't care who you are. There's nobody that's going to tell me they're prepared for an injury. I don't care how good you are. Because I got news for you. When it happens to you, like, I was like, did I just hear a paper cut? I dropped the thing halfway because I knew if I kept going higher with it, it would have blew the whole thing right off the bone at that point. That was smart. But let me tell you, the shock at first is unbelievable because you're saying to yourself, that didn't just happen, did it? And, you know, you're pulling your sleeve down and you're looking, now your arm's getting black and blue already.
Yep.
You know, now you got to go to the hospital. Now you got to deal with that. And that's a big thing. And when we talk about the winning attitude and the whole mental scheme of what we do here, that's something you're going to have to get really good at. And if things should happen to any of you, and I hope they don't, you're going to have to be very strong mentally. And maybe some people can help you with support. But when it comes down to it, like we said, you can have all the cheering section you want, but it's not going to make a hill of beans to you when you got to go out there and lift that weight or lift that rock for the first time. So I'll give it to you. You know, anything you want to touch upon after that, give us the website and everything. I'll give my end, and we'll say goodbye till the end of next month, if you would, please.
You put it exactly right. No one is ready for an injury.
Nope.
And when you rehab from an injury, you know, you could have all the physical therapists and all the physiatrists in the world encouraging you on and showing you what to do, taking you through the range of motion. But in the end of it all, you're the guy who's going to have to get back your strength. You're the guy who's going to have to get the strength back through whatever range of motion hurt you. And then you're the guy who's going to have to go back to lifting again to get back on the horse so you're not afraid to get back on the horse so you can go finish off whatever it was that you were trying to accomplish when you got hurt. And then, again, that's where we meet the lover who desires to do things and dreams great things. And the lover has to be tempered with the willpower, with the warrior who actually goes out and accomplishes the great things. We need to have both of them all the time, or we're never going to get anywhere.
I think that's like the beautiful thing. I mean, to be able to be so, I don't know what word I even want to use. It's like to be able to know yourself in such a great way and be reminded of it through innate intelligence, to be so informed to not even know the reasons why, but you do know what you have to do to be able to point and hit that destination where you got to be. Why people don't take the time to learn and be quiet and sit and be quiet and all these things come out, I can't tell you. And I don't have all the answers because I'm learning myself every minute of the day. But to be able to, you know, we are very lucky, you and I and everybody that's blessed to be physical and been able to do this stuff for years and do big things. I don't think people realize, you know, how important and how great it feels. And to be able to, you know, you and I can talk about stories and tell people our stories. That is like one of the best things. I love listening to people that are interesting and they've done stuff. And, you know, they're not afraid to say, hey, I failed 5 billion times. But you know what? I'm here talking to Dr. Wong and Eric. You know, this to me is what it's all about. You can take all the other shit, the scales, the machines. You know, we'll put you on this, see what your breathing is, all that. You know what? I'll go right back to this, and I'll go to you, and we'll finish off.
You just said a word. You said a word before that another doc said to me just a few days ago. The word was quiet.
Yep.
If you've got your nose in a screen, if you've perpetually got data coming through or music or God knows what, some garbage, you can't be quiet. If you're not quiet, how can you listen to your inner self? How can you listen to your connection with the universe? How can you listen to your connection with God if you're not quiet? And that's actually the whole idea.
Yep.
Modern man doesn't want you to connect with your inner self because then they lose control of you.
Yep.
You won't take their drugs. You won't follow their advice. You won't buy their shirts or cigarettes. You won't use their whatever. So they need to be constantly bombarding you with crap to keep your senses enthralled so that you never have that quiet time. Communing with yourself and God.
Yep. It's not, you know, I'll go out some mornings like 5:30, 6 o'clock and sit in my backyard. And I that's why I like to garden so much, because the peace and tranquility I feel at that point is like nothing else. And I got to tell you, when I'm out there training, I can't be like that all the time or I'll be dead. Because you're at such a high pitch, high level, does it feel good like that? Hell yeah. But there's no way you can operate 24/7, and nobody'd want to be around me like that. But when you're sitting there, like, even gardening, and the sun's just starting to come up, and, you know, I never wear shoes in there, bare feet, nothing feels better than hot, you know, warm dirt. You know, you're sitting, you're kneeling, you're using your hands, you know, so there you go, innate. Subconsciously, things are going through you. You're connecting to everything. You're putting plants in. You're watering your plants. You're weeding. All these things. This is how you connect back to yourself. Same way with lifting. When I go out there and brutalize shit, or it brutalizes me, let me tell you, man, we're connected.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's no other way. Right. So I'll bring this right around to you. I'll tell you this. I would love for any of us, but this is going to be something I'm going to do down the road. I want to go to that place for 1 year, and I want to harden myself like a friggin' tempered piece of steel, man. And I mean that wholeheartedly. I don't care if I go in there at 3:03 and come out at 2:50 ripped to shreds. I don't care, because what I want to do is I want to take on something where it's like, yeah, you'll rest, but, you know, it's not going to be a real comfortable bed, and you'll be out in the cold. You'll have heat, but it won't be warm. You'll be outside sawing, chopping wood, whatever you want to do, running through the snow, whatever it is that's on your mind, but you'll have everything there. That's what I want to do. I want to feel myself, feel that pressure, feel that mind, and most of all, I want to feel that heartbeat, man. I want to feel that, and when I get up and I move, I know, for God's sake, the good Lord's kept me alive for another day. And I'll leave that to you, Dr. Wong. Give all your information when you're set, and I'll give mine. Just hang on the line.
You've got to go back to Iceland. You got to do that, what you want to do in Iceland.
Yep, absolutely.
That's where you have to find your shack. Find your shack by the Husabelt zones.
Yeah, would that be great?
Yeah.
I'll be doing the show from Husabelt, man. Well, to be honest with you, when we get over there, I'm going to try to connect with a few people, and I'd love to do at least 3 or 4 days worth of shows, so that would be dynamite. And obviously, with filming and all that there, I mean, you got a laptop with you. I mean, I could literally transmit shit right off the top of that sheet pen. So, you know, hey, look, there's a lot of good things out there. I'd say, everybody, go out and find them. Don't worry about all the other bullshit going on around you, the texting, you know, who's winning this race, that and that. You know, go out and have your own race. Go out and write your movie. Go out and write your novel, man. You got it in you. Go out and do it. But I turn it over to you, sir.
Thank you, thank you. Anyone who wants to listen to my lectures or my podcast, I invite you to go to drwongradio.com. If you want to read the writings that I've done on various different things, from training to martial arts to natural health, those can be found at drwong.us, which is also known as totalityofbeing.com. And if you want to look for our supplements, you can go to docsprefer.com, which is also known as drwongsessentials.com. And I thank you all for listening to me.
Absolutely. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. Go out and check out his systemic enzymes and everything else. Top-notch. He's been very generous with me, and he's helped me out considerably. And I know people have been on the show with me or listeners have contacted him. They can't say enough good things. So go out to www.docsprefer.com. Go out and tell them we sent you. That's what I'm telling everybody. All these people that are involved with the show, we're trying to get them, everybody, to go out to their companies and, you know, give them a little bit of love, too. Next, we got Sorenex, another person, Richard and Bert. You know, like I said, they're sponsoring me for Iceland through a Diamond Bar. You got to check this bar out. It is insane. Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Tell them Motivation Muscle sent you. Next, Hearts Collision. That's New York, Albany, New York. HeartsCollision.com. Give Lori and Alex a call. You can get a hold of them at 518-477-7937. As they say, they're not the biggest, but they are the best. Great people. They do outstanding work. And like I said, we're trying to get anybody affiliated with our sponsorship program, which is on www.fiorellabarbellco.com. We're into all this. I mean, Alex got huge hands, wrists, manly stuff. You know, I don't care if it's down to good-looking dress shirts, razors, whatever, man. Come on, advertise with us. We want to work with everybody for at least 25 years to promote your brand. If you need any type of branding, Chris can do that too. That's an added fee. But for $300 a month, I am doing 7 to 12 podcasts a week. You're on the front end and the back end, and we're getting bigger and bigger. We're over 65,000 listeners right now. We haven't even been on a year. And we're going after this tooth and nail. If you hear us today, you got a little glimpse of what's in my heart. And I don't back down. I don't give a shit how tough it gets. So we're going to be out there. And then last but not least, well, we got a couple things. I'm going to be on the Sports Doctor radio show from Chicago next Wednesday. That's the 8th. Go out to healthylife.net. I'm going to talk all about stones, Iceland, et cetera, et cetera. Dr. Wheel now is a regular on the show. He wants to come on every month. So I've got another. I can't thank all you people enough. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So check that out if you want. I believe I'm on the later end, so I believe that's like around 4:15. I'll have more. I should hear from them this weekend. Go out to Fiorella Barbell Code, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. All you got to do is leave your email, free ebook, basic, no nonsense, et cetera, et cetera. Go out to Strength Times Power Equals Success for $7. You can get the course that I blew 43 pounds off Dennis and made that boy muscular as hell. A lot of strong man, some kettlebell, a lot of hill running with big objects. Just see, it's a little bit different, and it works. And I couldn't be prouder of him. I mean, he went from 267 to 224 in 6 months. It was 225 the target. I could have got him leaner, but he's over 6 feet. Just looked like at that point we wanted to keep him where he was. Check that out. Check out the Winner's Circle, 12 modules of everything. It's all audio, 27 to 34 minutes each module. I lay it right out on the line, just like you're talking about today, with attitudes, programs. You can take stuff, plug it in, put it out. Whatever you want to do, we got it there. So check that out. If you need help, you can contact me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And my phone number is on there. You can always call. I return calls back within 24 hours. I already talked about the sponsorship. Then we'll talk about Chris Bigelow, who does all the magic here. 800-687-1609, monsterdevelopment.com. You can also click that on my homepage, and that will link right to them. This is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're on FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationandMuscle.com, or on iTunes and Stitcher. Write us a review. Let's see. We are on Facebook, Fiorella Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. We are on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. As I said, I gave out the email, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And like I said, be on the lookout. Everything's about ready to release. We'll see what happens. We want you all to participate and keep this show big and running. That's the mission, and that's what we're going to do. Few things. If someone contacts you in the gym or the concrete jungle, don't be afraid to give them a little hand. You know, that's what we're talking about today. That's what it's all about. And as my mom said, when we were kids, you know, don't be afraid to say hello or give a smile to somebody. It might be all they get. But my favorite is this. Go out tonight, lift hunks and hunks of iron, take stones and turn them into dust. And remember, we're going to be a million strong or more of listeners, and we are world domination. So everybody out there, have a great weekend. Dr. Wong, thank you once again for being on the show, sir.
Thank you for having me on board.
It's always a pleasure, and it's always a good time. So for Dr. William Wong, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to the show. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next week. And remember, go out and do something meaningful. I mean that. Go out and just do, go, like we just said, get quiet and listen to yourself. Then contact us and let us know. Have a great weekend. Thanks for everything.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.